when the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Well, it's the long weekend, which means it's the last weekend of summer. And with that comes the last in our series of our summer edition of Abandoned Manitoba, where Gordon Goldsborough has been taking us across the province and helping us discover abandoned places in towns where you can go and visit. But the summer series is ending today and we are going out with a bang locally. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia. We're not quite done because we do have one more place to tell people to go and check out. And that's next weekend's Manifest here in downtown Winnipeg.
So let's go.
Yeah. You know, because people come and they enjoy Manifest for its other virtues. It's music, it's fine food. You know, when you're downtown Winnipeg, though, you can't help but see all the wonderful buildings. And if you're at all interested in architecture, as I am, you know, you're bound to wonder about some of those buildings. What's their story? So if you go to the website of the Manitoba Historical Society, you'll find lots of buildings. And, you know, it was really tough coming up with just a short list to talk about here this morning. But if I whet your appetite, just know that there's way more for you to look at when you're going to Manifest.
Why not? So where do we start today?
Well, we have to start with a building on Portage Avenue, just at the corner of Gary Street, called the Paris Building. And it was actually named for the company that built it, the Paris Canadian Investment Company. They built it between 1915 and 1917, so during the height of the First World War. And I don't know whether they were perhaps trying to save money a little bit or whether they just wanted a sort of a decorative flourish. They used a material on the exterior that was quite common at that time. It was intended to be a little, maybe a little less costly. It would give the impression of sort of ornateness. The outsides of a lot of buildings built at that time had this wonderful sort of decorative material that if you didn't look closely, you might think was just carved stone. The outside had sort of decorative material. Well, in fact, it's not stone at all. It's actually clay.
Wow.
Clay that would be fired at high temperature, and they would put it in a mold, and they could make all kinds of leaves and flowers and, you know, animals. And these would then be baked at high temperature to make into sort of a ceramic material called terracotta. And so terracotta was actually a widespread technique. They were used all over the world during this early 20th century period. Here in Winnipeg, today there's about, maybe a dozen or a few more buildings that feature terracotta. And I think the Paris Building, this 11-story building on Portage Avenue, is really one of the highlights for me.
I'm just trying to like imagine it now. I'm going to have to hop over there later on today and check it out.
Well, that's just it. People often overlook these decorative flourishes, and it's a very good indicator of a certain time period. Because once you get to the Great Depression around 1930, the use of terracotta virtually stops. And today, it's almost not at all used. The only sources of terracotta are basically to repair these early buildings. There's very few uses of it today, as I understand. But, you know, if you're interested in terracotta, I would heartily recommend listeners take a tour with the Winnipeg Architecture Foundation. They actually have a walking tour of downtown Winnipeg where they feature the terracotta buildings. And to be frank, I didn't notice them until I took the tour. And now I go everywhere and I see, oh, look at that example over there.
Well, that's an excellent suggestion to go on that tour. What else do you have for us?
Well, there are a number of nice halls in downtown Winnipeg, and included among them are the fire halls. Early 20th century, again, the city of Winnipeg was growing rapidly. Of course, you needed protection against fire. And so in 1904, the city built 5 fire halls around the city. Now, a lot of those halls are no longer used. They're turned into people's homes or they're doing other things with them. So the one that I'm interested in is the No. 3 fire hall on Maple Street, just opposite the old CPR station on Higgins. It was one of the bigger ones, nice big stone and brick structure, 2 stories. On the main floor was all the firefighting equipment. On the second floor were the firefighters. That's where they would live while they were waiting to fight a fire. But what's interesting is behind it, there was a stable. Hmm. And you think, why would you need that? Well, of course, this was in the age before they had, you know, gasoline-powered trucks. They would have all their firefighting equipment hauled to the fire by horses, and so they'd need place to, you know, stable the horses. But when this fire hall stopped being used as a fire hall in the mid-1990s, it sat empty for a few years, and then in 1999, it opened as the Firefighting Museum in Winnipeg. Absolutely wonderful, you know, and if you ever get a chance to check it out, it really is worthwhile. You know, they've got firefighting history going back to 1882. They have equipment and, you know, and information. It's really a gem of downtown Winnipeg is the old No. 3 fire hall.
That's so great. There's also examples of modernist architecture.
Indeed. You know, I mean, yes, of course, a lot of the downtown buildings are older in Winnipeg, but there are some really nice newer ones dating from after the Second World War. One of the architectural styles that became popular during this time was modernist architecture that featured three materials: glass, reinforced concrete, and steel. You know, and so if you look around, you see buildings like that. So those would be modernist buildings. The Norquay building, for example, on York is a fine example of a modernist building. But one of the highlights, in fact, one that's considered by heritage advocates as one of the best examples of modernist architecture here in Winnipeg, is on Broadway in between Carleton and Hargrave. That's the former Monarch Life building. It was built in 1961, a prime example of, say, modernist with concrete and steel and glass. It was used by the insurance company for a couple of decades. Eventually, they moved out, and today it's actually home to the Workers' Compensation Board.
Which is very fitting for this weekend, so nicely done. And a hotel you have on your list.
Yeah, well, of course, inevitably you might get a little hungry, you might get a little thirsty when you're wandering around downtown Winnipeg. Maybe you want to check out one of the old hotels in the downtown district. And there's lots of them. You know, on Main Street we have the Winnipeg Hotel, on Fort we have the Vendome, over on Gary we have the Garrick. You know, sometimes people think of these as kind of maybe a little unsavory, maybe a little unsafe. But this is definitely not true as a whole. They offer great food, they offer a drink at reasonable prices, and they often have really interesting architecture. So, for example, a highlight for me has to be the Woodbine, just north of Portage and Main on Main Street on the west side. And, you know, people go by there and they sometimes walk a little faster as they go by. But, you know, if you turn in, wonderful, friendly atmosphere. They got this nice pressed metal ceiling, interesting historical decor, and again, fine food and drink. So definitely worthwhile. And if you are interested in seeing some of these old hotels, a friend of mine, Christian Cassidy, offers what he calls a historic pub crawl, where you basically go from hotel to hotel, seeing the exterior, seeing the interior, hearing a little bit about its history, and then enjoying a beer.
How do we get to find out about that historic pub crawl if people are interested?
Well, Christian has a blog that he maintains called This Was Winnipeg. So if you go online, in fact, if you just search Christian Cassidy, you'll find it. And he offers these tours periodically on a wide range of subjects. The Arlington Bridge, for example. But I would say his historic pub crawl has got to be a highlight.
I love the title alone. Gordon, thank you so much for this. I think a lot of us will appreciate some of these locations in downtown Winnipeg, especially when people are enjoying Manifest. Now, we've come to an end of our summer series of Abandoned Manitoba, where Gordon has been taking us around the province. So we will resume with our regular Abandoned Manitoba from next week. Gordon, thanks so much for doing this whole summer edition.
Oh, we'll see you next week.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons